If you turn to Galatians chapter 6. In a way, the sermon is just going to be an echo of that song. Nothing but the blood, but the cross can wash away my sins. And that's the one tree I want to chop down today. And we would think, well, I know nothing but the blood can wash away my sins. Yet how often people in religion who say they're trusting in nothing but the blood are trusting in something else, a Jesus plus. We're going to look at one main verse in Galatians 6. Verse 14, Paul says, "But far be it from me to boast, except," kind of like that song, "nothing but one thing. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." Let me pray again. Father, I just pray specifically that You would save someone today. Lord, I look around and I see people that I know are lost and they know they're lost. I pray, Lord, You'd open their eyes to say like Paul, Lord, it's amazing that he would say what he just did, because he, of anyone, could boast in his religious works and his circumcision and everything, but he counted it the loss for the surpassing worth of knowing You. And Father, here we see him saying, God forbid I boast in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray You'd take the blinders off of those here today who don't boast in the cross alone, and that that would be their boast from this point on, that it would be the one thing driving their life, that it'd be the thing they glory in, that they'd see everything else as a loss. Just like Paul said in Philippians 3, he counted everything as done compared to that surpassing worth of knowing You. And so, Lord, I'm praying, I'm asking You'd save someone today, Lord, that they'd come to know You, that they'd come to boast in You, that You'd get great glory from saving people from every tongue, tribe, and nation. Lord, even those upstairs who are going to hear Jason's interpretation, Lord, that You'd wake them up. Lord, that You'd open people's eyes, fathers who have sons here who don't know You. Lord, that You would open their eyes to see the cross of Christ as everything, as the only hope of being reconciled to You. And Lord, we're thankful there isn't another place of any hope. We're thankful, Lord, that the cross is the only way. And Lord, we do boast in that. We're not ashamed of that, Lord. No matter the persecution, no matter the hate, Lord, we boast in You. Please help. In Jesus' name, amen. I've got an outline of five things. Number one, what is boasting? Then we're going to look at what were people boasting in other than Christ. You know, we already know the answer before we start the sermon. The one thing to boast in is Christ. But I want to convince you of that all the more. We're going to look at why were they boasting in what they were. We're going to look at why does a man who is religious and in the church boast in a Jesus plus something. Paul gives some reasons in this text why people do that. And then lastly, we're just going to look at why boast in the cross and nothing else. Because it's not good enough just to say boast alone in the cross. We need reasons why we should be exclusive entirely to Christ alone. So let's think of that word. You see it in verse 14. But far be it from me to boast. Today, when you think of boasting, you kind of think of the word bragging. That kind of is a bad feeling, a bad connotation. It's better to think of the word like this. I'm glorying in something. I'm glorying in something. I'm rejoicing in something. I'm taking pride in something. You know, there's people that take pride in their looks. Well, their looks are going to fade away. But I take pride in the cross, and it's never going to fade away. It's going to be the same a million years from now. Boasting, it means it's something you talk about. You don't have to say, I boast in something. If you're always talking about it, you're proving that's what you boast in. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The things you talk about, that's what you boast in. Boasting, the thing you boast about, you're going to listen to it. You're going to study it. You're going to be consumed with that one thing. It's the thing that drives you. It's the thing you want to show off. I mean, how many people in the world, they get a new car, they want to show it off. They're boasting in the glory of it. And as the Christian, what's Paul saying? The one thing I boast in is the cross of Christ. So, people boast in sports players, others' ability. You know, people boast in something they accomplished. You know, the child may do something and they say, Mom, Dad, look what I did. They're boasting in what they did. And what we as Christians are called to do is to say to the world, look what Christ has done. Look what He has accomplished. That's all of my boast. That's all of my hope. That's the only thing I've got that's going to get me to heaven. Now, we need to think about something. Why does it matter what I boast in? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a problem that man has that leads a man to boast in the cross. And what's man's big problem? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone outside of Christ is standing under the wrath of God. And what the person under the wrath of God is going to boast in is that which removes the wrath. You don't boast in a lawyer who loses every case. You boast in a lawyer who wins the case for you. Just think about sin. Sin is something irrational. It's not wise. Like Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Christ is saying that's not rational. If you get the whole world, but in the end you lose your soul, it's irrational. Sin, it's deceitful. Sin tells you, well, it's not going to be that bad. Or, well, this isn't that offensive to God. Sin tries to deceive you of the cost that it will have towards you. The wages of sin is death. That's the due we all get for our sins. Sin is hardening. As one brother said, sin will take you farther than you ever want to go. It will keep you longer than you ever want to stay. And sin will cost you more than you ever want to pay. What's the ultimate thing sin costs a man? His soul. You know, I was reading a book. Someone was saying that sexual morality costs a man his ministry. There's a lot bigger of a thing it will cost that man. His soul. Not just his ministry. Yes, a true Christian, it could cost them their ministry and they would rise up again and prove true. But sin costs men their souls. Sin is enslaving. When you think about sin, it enslaves you. When I was lost, I would say, I don't want to do that. Yet I kept doing it. I was enslaved to it. I was in bondage to it. Sin is shameful. It's shameful. When do people do their deeds? In darkness. Why? They don't want to be seen. They're ashamed of what they do. Yet nowadays, people are so unashamed of their sin, they do it in public. Sin is defiling. Think about Titus 3. It says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our day in envy and malice, hated by others and hating one another. That's the lost man. He's in sin. He's a slave of sin. That's the cancer that he's got. And the great question is, I'm going to boast in that which cures my biggest problem, sin. Whatever that cure is, whatever doctor out there offers the cure to my sin, that's what I'm going to boast in. So, let's ask this question. In Galatians, what were people boasting in? What were people boasting in? Let's read verse 13. We've got it right there. Before verse 14, for even those who are circumcised, that's an external work, do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised. Why? that they may boast in your flesh. When you think about flesh, just think of the idea in externals. They want to boast in something that externally has happened. You've been circumcised. Your body has. That's an external thing. And they're wanting to boast in an external work. It was being taught in Galatians as being a qualification for grace. You can't be saved unless you're circumcised. That's what was being taught. That's what Paul was going against. He was fighting against people who were teaching that to be right with God, you need this external work first. And Paul was defending that's not the case. So ask yourself a question. Wait, what if that is the case? What if I'm wrong? What if an external work does pay for your sin? Then that would be the thing to boast in. Well, the answer is no. Your bad record won't be taken care of by any work you do. Because you still, even if you never sin again, you still have sins in the past that must be paid for. Paul says throughout Galatians, you could turn with me, we'll read a couple verses. Just run right through them. Chapter 2, verse 16. You can see some of the defense he's been making up to this point. Yet we know that a person is not justified. The idea is you're counted righteous, you're declared righteous. He's not declared right with God by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. At the end of that text he says, because by works of the law, no one will be declared righteous with God. No one will be justified. Go to 3:2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? And then he goes on to say, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Are you going back to the law? It's foolish. 3:10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. Why? For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. 3:11 right there. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. It's evident, it's obvious. For the righteous shall live by faith. 3:24. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith, not by works of the law, not by circumcision. And now look at 5:4. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. Hear this system of grace is through Christ. You leave that, you're going away from the only way of being right with God, which is by grace, apart from works of the law. So Paul has been pretty clear up to this point. And here we see in verse 13, they desire that they may boast in your flesh in an external work. Now, circumcision isn't that big of a deal nowadays, at least not in our city, at least not in American Christianity. What are some counterparts of circumcision? What's an external work that people are always boasting in modern times? Baptism. I mean, that's huge. And notice the people who boast in baptism, they don't throw Christ out. They take Christ plus. And that's what's so deceitful. It's not just, oh, they're denying Christ. They're denying the Christ of the Bible. But they're taking Christ plus a work. Another thing, an external work, making a decision. How many people, they boast in a decision they made. I walked the aisle. I said the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus in my heart. I just said the word I 3 times. I did this. I did that. Nothing of Christ. It's all about what you did. And that's a big deal in America. Another thing people boast in, Reformed theology. They assume since I have Reformed theology, I'm circumcised in a sense. I can boast in that. I mean, I'm not dumb like those who deny that, they would say in a proud way. Others, they boast in a feeling. It's not that they've been circumcised, but they felt a feeling. And they say, I know I'm saved because I felt something. And you can't tell me any otherwise that I'm not saved. Because I had a feeling. I had an experience. The validity of the experience will be your life. There's a lot of people, they come along, well, I had an experience. They're living in sin. Something's not right. Some, they boast in the freedom they've got. Some boast in the family they're born into. You know, if you're a child here today, you do not want to boast that you've got Christian parents. You do not want that to be your hope. Because if that's your hope, that's like you're relying on circumcision. And by being in a Christian family, you will not be justified before God. You're privileged to hear the truth. But don't trust in that. Trust in Christ. Sadly, we can even boast in the church we go to. Kind of like the doctrine thing. You can look down on everyone else and you can think, well, I'm privileged. But don't boast in that. Don't trust that you walk in this door and that means you're right with God. Some, they boast in the Lord's Supper. These are just some of the counterparts. Some of the things. When you think about circumcision, think of an external work someone is doing in and trusting in that in order to be righteous before God. They're thinking, I have this. I mean, baptism is so huge, as we mentioned. People say, I've been baptized. That must mean I'm right with God. Say again. Yeah, tons. People say, I spoke in tons. Some churches will say, well, if you spoke in tons, you're not saved. That's what are they boasting in? Where's Christ? They're boasting in tons. They're not even mentioning Christ. When you find people who are not easily mentioning Christ off the tip of their tongue, that's a red flag. When they're mentioning the Spirit all of the time, when they're mentioning all other things but Christ, there's a problem. Now, what reasons do men boast in the flesh? We find a couple here. Look at verse 12. Those who boast in the flesh in an external work, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. Okay, why do they want to put on a good performance? Who would force you to be circumcised and only in order that what? That they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. So let's look at those two things. They want to put a good showing, a good performance, and they don't want to be persecuted. So when you think about making a good showing in the flesh, I mean, it's just the idea of a performance. It's easy to get things looking good on the outside. I mean, imagine if the only qualification to be a Christian was baptism. If you get baptized, you're saved. It's easy to get a guy who doesn't want to leave his sin to get baptized. And then you get your numbers. And you get a lot of people in the church. And now what do? You boast in the church. I mean, years ago, a guy like a Rick Warren boasted they were going to baptize more people than ever been baptized in one day. And if you went to the baptism, you get a picture with him and you get his autograph. What was that about? Boasting in Christ? It was more about boasting in the baptism, boasting in the numbers, boasting in an external work. That was a good show they put on. But that's not true salvation. Who doesn't want to be part of something big? Wow, more people get baptized in a day than ever. I want to be part of that. And I get a man's autograph. Yeah, I'm going to go. That's not a good place. That's not any place to have confidence. Period. You know, think of why is there so much easy believism? Even like Paul said, people don't want to be persecuted. Well, if we lower the cost of discipleship, we can put a good show on by having a lot of numbers. You know, we can have a couple guys in the band. Well, they play guitar good. They're living a worldly life. They're living in sin. They're addicted to pornography, but he plays the guitar good, so we're going to get him on the stage. Because we're going to have a good show. I've heard that. That happens. What's the point? One of the reasons to boast in an external work is to make a good showing in the flesh. To put a show on. Okay, the second part of that. The reason to do that is in order that they may not be persecuted. Notice what they're persecuted for the cross of Christ. What happened earlier in Galatians? In Galatians 2, Peter was fearing these people, the circumcision party. Paul came in. That's hypocritical. And he rebuked him to the face that he was wrong. He was being a hypocrite, even as a believer. If Paul would have made a stand, your circumcision is worth nothing, what would have happened? Or if Peter would have made a stand, your circumcision is worth nothing, what would have happened? He would have been persecuted. So rather than be persecuted, he was hypocritical. I mean, you think about modern times. I thought about the abortion clinic. One brother was there, and here, you know, they've got 60 Catholics. And they're making a stand. We are boasting in Christ. They are boasting in a works plus. They use the name of Christ, but they're boasting in Mary. They're boasting in all these other things. And one of those Catholics there went and grabbed the brother by his shirt. He was being persecuted for what? Being exclusively Christ alone. People hate that. People hate that. Galatians 5:11, Paul said right there, "But if I, brothers, still preach an external work, circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed." And I heard the other day some guy boasting he had been to church 10 years in a row without missing a Sunday. He's boasting in his attendance. And imagine if I go to evangelize to him and I tear that down. I say to him, "Sir, though you've attended church every Sunday for 10 years, that is a filthy rag, that is worth nothing." What does that do? It offends him. It offends a man to tell him your external works are worth absolutely nothing in order to be justified before God. You get persecuted. So let's think of that. The cross is offensive. It's like an artist. I make this really good painting. And I say to you guys, "What do you guys think of my works? What do you think of my painting?" And you guys tell me, "It's horrible. God won't accept it." What does that do to my pride? Crushes it. Because I thought this is a great painting. And then you tell me it's horrible. And that's what Paul's doing. He's coming along to these people who are boasting in their work. And he's saying, "That's nothing. You're cursed if you rely on that. That's not going to gain you acceptance with God. That's not going to wash away your sin. That's not going to give you peace with God. You need to forget about that circumcision. Forget about that external work of the law." The cross says man is bad. It says a man is headed for hell. It says he's helpless and there's nothing he can do. The cross says you can't even lift your own finger without the Lord. The cross is screaming at you, "You need salvation. You need to be saved." Well, you say, "Wait, screaming at me? How? What happened on the cross?" God slaughtered His Son. That's a powerful statement. And we're going to look into that in a moment. So again, the Judaizers, they didn't deny Christ. They denied Christ was the only way. They added qualifications. So ask yourself, are you adding a qualification in any way? Maybe obviously like baptism, maybe subtly like the experience, the emotional thing that happened a couple years ago. Or are you exclusively Christ alone? It's best to ask that now and not wait until the end. Because we hear in Matthew 7, many people boast, "Lord, Lord." And they even had external works. Tons, prophesied, mighty works. And Jesus says to them, "I never had an intimate relationship with you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." They weren't intimate with Christ. They had a work, they had a Jesus of their imagination, but they didn't have the Christ of the Bible who was exclusive to Himself. So the world will accept us to the extent it does not see devotion to Christ. I mean, think about these things. If we're just devoted as a church to helping the poor, which is good, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, compassion ministry. Imagine John and Sam are in the Philippines right now. Imagine if all we want to do in the Philippines is feed the poor and do compassion ministry. Is that offensive? Not at all. But that's not just what we want to do in the Philippines. We want to preach the cross of Christ that is offensive. And the Philippines is full of Catholicism. And coming along to a Catholic and letting them know that their works are not going to merit salvation and putting them to the cross, that is offensive. And though we may do all the compassion in the world over there, they will be offended because of it. The cross is offensive. I mean, hey, I don't want to get persecuted. You know, maybe, the Jews have another Messiah. I mean, right? Yeah, because boy, if I say they don't, I'm going to get persecuted. Baptism plus Christ saves? Yeah, the Church of Christ denomination. They've got to be our brothers. I'm sick of them not liking us. I don't like getting persecuted. Notice, if I blend the lines, I don't get persecuted. I take away the offense of the cross that says Christ alone. Same thing with Catholicism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. I mean, you've got people who are so ecumenical. Guess what you don't get for being ecumenical? You don't get persecuted. But guess what you also don't get for being ecumenical? You don't go to heaven. Galatians 1. If you preach another message, you're accursed. Blending the lines. Being ecumenical. Saying, well, Catholics, Mormons, we're all together. Yeah, you won't get persecuted, but you won't make it to heaven because that's another gospel. It's a major issue. And if Paul didn't go in and rebuke Peter and he continued in his compromise, he would have shipwrecked the faith. But thank God that Paul did confront him. And a true Christian could be compromising. And if you're compromising, turn from it. It's offensive to God. It's insulting to Christ. What's John 14:6 say? I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth, the life. Christ said that. No one comes to the Father but through me. Acts 4:12. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other. Meaning exclusively one name, one person, Christ, one finished work, Christ, not your works, not someone else, Christ and Him alone. Well, that's arrogant to make such a claim. How can you say that? That Christ is the only way? People will say that. Okay. Why do men boast in the flesh? Let's look at a third reason. First reason was to what? Make a good show. Second reason was they did the good show to not get persecuted. Let's read verse 13. For even those who are circumcised, so they've got this work. What about them, Paul? They don't themselves keep the law. They themselves don't keep the law. What do we learn from that? External works are a cover-up for living in sin. I got baptized. It doesn't matter how I live. I got circumcised. Yeah, I don't keep the law. But that doesn't matter. I did my external work. You see that? I mean, you've probably heard people do that. They will boast in an external work in the flesh because it's such a good cover-up for living a licentious life and living in sin. Clean the outside of the cup, but keep all of your sins of heart and mind hidden. Now use our brother Brandon Pitts as an example. I mean, I knew him when he came to the church. I had no idea he was living a double life. And then he got up here one day during the Lord's Supper and confessed his sin, that he was a total hypocrite, he was a fake. I didn't see that coming. It shocked me. I wasn't that close to him. Maybe that's why. But point was, he had cleaned the outside of the cup pretty good. He had done the external thing. But inwardly, he was dead. But thank God, God saved him. And if you're here facing it today, the Lord's more than able to save you. Like Brandon said, he wanted to leave the church. He wanted to go away to another church where they wouldn't know who he really was. Praise the Lord, God did not let him do that. You know, external things can be such a cover-up for sin. I mean, recently, another one in this group that really emphasizes patriarchy and homeschooling and a husband having dominion, emphasizing that, two of those leaders have been in sin for years. One since the 80s, sexually harassing people. Bill Gothard. And another just recently. But look, all the externals he's had. So much so that people within the actual organization won't even remove him from leadership. And he's there, even though there's 6 testimonies of sexual harassment. Why? Because there's so much to boast about in the flesh in that man. He's got so many of the externals, and that covers up and justifies his hidden sin, or his sin that's in the light. Now, okay, what's Paul going to say about all this boasting in externals? What's he say? Verse 14. But far be it from me. Far. One of those chemical plants blew up in Texas. I was glad that plant was far from my house, or would have destroyed my house. Paul is saying any external boasting, any look into a work other than the cross, may it be far away from me. Not near me, not a little ways away, but far away. The King James, it says, God forbid I boast except in the cross. It's the same word. May I never boast in anything but the cross. We're going to look at why. Because if he's coming across so strong in that, there's got to be a good reason. So let's think about it. Obviously, the opposite end of saying may it be far from me is saying may boast in the cross be near to me. The opposite of saying may I never boast in the cross is saying may I always boast in the cross. So let's look at a list of reasons from the text on why to boast in the cross and nothing else. Because we've got to find the answer why we should entirely be exclusively cross boasters. Verse 14, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross. My first reason is because there's a cross. There's a cross. What's a cross? It's an instrument in Roman times that was used for capital punishment. If you had crimes that deserved of capital punishment, you were hung up on a cross. So Paul's talking that there's a cross. It belongs to someone. Someone took capital punishment on a cross. Now what does this imply? Someone took the punishment for some very serious sin. They were crucified. That's not a minor thing. Now we all know the answer. We know who is crucified. Christ. Look at Galatians 1, the very beginning, 1 verse 4. Let's read verse 3 with it. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we're boasting alone in the cross because there is a cross. And on the cross, the capital punishment that was due for my sins, for your sins, was borne by someone else. A substitute took our place upon the cross. Jesus Christ, the righteous, who gave Himself as a ransom for all at the proper time. Think about it. What was our problem? We're looking at what we can boast in order to deal with the problem. Sin. We've fallen short of the glory of God. The wages that is due to us because of our transgressions is an eternity in hell. And we're looking at what can deliver me from that. That's what I'm going to boast in. That's what I'm going to be exclusively boasting in. The doctor who can actually solve my sin problem, not just externally, but inwardly. That can change me. And Paul's saying, I know who it is. It's Christ. And what happened? It wasn't just Christ. He was on a cross. You know, the cross was so cruel in Roman days, they wouldn't even allow a Roman citizen to be crucified on a cross. That's how horrible it was thought about it. It's like America thinking, well, this form of execution is so horrible, none of our citizens will do it. Yeah, those from Iraq, those from Afghanistan, we'll put them on the real torture thing. And that's what happened back then. And Christ went to the cross. What did he do? Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. We didn't keep it. We're under a curse. And how did he do this? By becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. We'll even finish that verse. So that we might receive the promised Spirit through what? Works of the law? No, faith. Not works, faith. Taking God at His Word. This is what I'm saying. The criminal has a bad record. And if you're not saved, you've got a bad record. And there's a problem. There's a holy and just judge. And for him to remain just, he must condemn you with the just penalty that your sins demand. And that is hell. Not for a year, not for 10 years, but for all of an eternity. Because his divine justice must be satisfied. And hear this external bad record. Hear this internal bad heart that you have if. And you need someone to be your substitute to pay for that debt. You need someone to take all of your sins upon their own account and die the death that you deserve to die. And that's what Christ has done on the cross. He was a substitute for His people. He gave Himself for our sins. He stood in our place. And the wrath of God fell upon him, and he was slaughtered, that we wouldn't have to be in hell for all of an eternity. Now let's look, what's another reason to boast in the cross? In the cross of. This is a cross of someone. We already know the answer. The cross of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. But why does that matter? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he just a man? He's God in the flesh. He's the Creator of all, it says in Hebrews. I mean, just ponder that. The Creator of all dying on a cross. The only one who never deserved that death was Him. Yet He's the one who suffered it. He's the judge of the world. The judge of the world dies for the criminals? What's going on? He was seated in heaven. He left His throne. Who leaves their throne to come down and die for criminals? You know, the rich people, the Bill Gates of the world, are not going to go down to the jail and say to the guy who's a rapist and a murderer, say, I'll take his place. That man goes free and Bill Gates dies. Yet something even more amazing that has happened. Jesus Christ left heaven. And He did go to the prison. And He was a substitute for His people. And He did give His life for murderers and rapists. You say, I haven't murdered. Well, the Bible says if you hate, you've murdered. Well, I've never raped anyone. If you look at a woman with lust, it's adultery in the heart. I was a mass rapist and murderer according to God's standards before He saved me. Do you see yourself, if you're lost, with how sinful you've been? Okay, what's our problem? Sin. So we're talking about a capital punishment that took place with Jesus Christ. Why can that make a difference? Well, under the law, you're obligated to keep the whole law. Who's the one person who kept the whole law? Who's the one person who fulfilled righteousness? Who's the one person who never thought a sinful thought? Who's the one person who never spoke too little, spoke too much? Who's the one person who never got too little sleep, never got too much sleep? Who's the one person? Christ. He's the only one who lived with absolute, entire perfection to the cue. He never failed. Not in one millisecond of His life. So He did keep the whole law. And yet He died as the man cursed who doesn't keep the law. Why? Because in that death, He satisfied divine justice. On my account, I've got a death sign. I'm going to be put in the electric chair of hell for all of an eternity. And Christ has been my substitute. Has He been yours? Is He your boast? Are you trusting that He gave Himself for you? Again, we're talking about the work of Christ, not your own works. Okay, third point on why we should boast alone in Christ. Let's look at the text. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? By which the world has been crucified to me. By which the world, or through whom the world has been crucified to me. What's in the world? What's this world system full of? Pride in life, desires of the flesh, lust of the eyes. The world system says, live for yourself. Do everything that satisfies your flesh, live it up. That's the system of the world. So Paul is saying, that world system, to me, has been crucified. The power of that system that it used to have on my life, where sin was only natural for me to do, that system's been crucified. It's been rendered powerless to me through the cross. You know, Paul said in Corinthians, the aim of the Christian is to please Him, not please myself. Romans 2:8, for all those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, there will be wrath and fury. The world system says, be self-seeking. The Bible says that's the path of wrath and fury. The next phrase, the world has been, the power of the pull of the world has been rendered powerless to me, and I to the world. It's by the cross which I have been crucified to the world. Think of it like this. The sheep is the Christian. The mud is the world. What power does that mud now have on the sheep? It's been rendered powerless because the sheep is no longer a pig. He is a new creation. His old man has been crucified. He has been brought into newness of life. He is now obedient from the heart. So the mud to the sheep has lost its power. The mud to the pig has a lot of power. The pig is there the mud is, and he's just wanting to hop right in. But for the Christian, Paul's saying, no, that mud to you has been crucified. It's been rendered powerless. The reason it's been rendered powerless is because you've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. And your old self has been crucified. And we're called to put on the new man because it's who we are in Christ. Point is what? At the cross, I'm not just boasting that I am justified before God. I am declared righteous before God because the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed to my account by faith. And God looks at me on judgment day and He sees me as perfectly righteous based on the merits of Christ. But also at the cross, my old man died and I am a new man. If any man's in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. And Paul's saying, I'm boasting in the cross because it didn't just save me from the penalty of my sins. It saved me from the power of them. That power that sin had on my life, I've been saved from that as well. It's no longer, that mud is not attractive. Could a sheep fall in the mud? Yes. But will he stay in the mud? Absolutely not. Because it's against his nature. To me, that world which used to be full of life is now full of death. It is no longer alive to me. I am alive to God. Well, wait, was this because of baptism? Was this because of circumcision? Or is this because of the cross? Verse 15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision. What counts? A new creation. What counts is in Christ being crucified and being a new man. That counts. That gives strength. That makes you able to now walk by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. Because you've changed realms. Because you're a new man with a new nature, with new desires. Through what? Baptism? Sinner's prayer? Through the cross. Through believing the cross. Whether you did that in a prayer or not, it's through the cross. Trusting Christ. External works count in nothing to keep you and give you strength to not go and sin. You stick a cage around the pig. He will bust on that cage until he can finally get through it and go into the mud. He wants the mud. Even if he's in a cage, he's just like, I want the mud, I want the mud. He's not in there. Happy. Because he wants what he really wants. So, do we need a physical cutting off of the flesh? Do we need an external work? No. We need inward heart surgery. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. Because that's really what counts. It doesn't matter whether you've done some external work or uncircumcision. You haven't done that external work. Because some people say, well, if I'm not circumcision's not it, well, I don't have that. I'm good, right? Paul's saying neither end. The end you need is you need to be a new creation. And the way you can be a new creation is Christ. Because I'm boasting in a cross that doesn't just take care of the penalty of your sins, but it takes care of the power. I cannot emphasize that enough. Because the undoing of the gospel in America is just all justification, all focused on forgiveness. And praise God for forgiveness. But if you take away the old man being killed and a new man being raised to newness of life, if you take away being a new creation in Christ, you just miss the gospel. You just miss what to boast in the cross. That world is powerless to me. It doesn't have that pull it used to have. It's not teaching perfection. As one brother said, it's teaching a change of direction. A radical change. Why else should we boast in the cross? Let's look at verse 16. We get two more reasons right there. And it's for all who walk by this rule what? A new creation. Exclusivity to Christ. Those who walk by that, not circumcision, what's going to be upon them? Peace and mercy be upon them. So if you're exclusive to Christ, peace will be upon you. Peace. Peace. What's peace? One thing peace is your conscience isn't screaming at you anymore. Because you can actually say, my sins have been taken care of. They're not hanging over there. They were hanging on Christ. And Christ didn't just stay on the cross, but He died and He rose from the dead. And He's seated in heaven. Think about those who trust in work. Say the person who they have the saying, well, I'm going back to church. They get momentary peace when? When they're in the building. If you're trusting in external work, you get momentary peace when you're doing the external work. But when you stop doing the external work, when you're not looking to it, all your peace is gone. But those who boast in the cross have real peace. perfect peace He keeps those who trust in Him because their eyes are towards Him, Isaiah 26:3 says. The person who's boasting in the cross has rest. Jesus said, come unto Me, not circumcision, not an external work. Come unto Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give rest. Peaceful rest from our works. Isn't that good news? I don't have to just keep working and striving. I can give up and fall upon the finished work of Christ and trust in Him entirely and not look any other place. And trust in Him not just to forgive of all sin and justify me, but that He will crucify me. And like Paul, I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. My old man is dead. Trusting He'll do that for you. That's not a heart surgery you can do. You know, think about those who have peace through the cross. They're no longer asking, have I done enough? Do any of you here ask that? Think about it. Do you ever think, am I doing enough? I mean, yeah, the true Christian, I want to do more for Christ's kingdom. But I'm not thinking I want to do more in order to be accepted by God. I'm secure in my acceptance through justification. But because of that, I want to be more sold out for Christ. They have peace who boast in the cross because they're not looking to their performance, which goes up, down, up, down, up, down. The perfect performance of Christ is always at its pinnacle. It's never less. It's perfect. It never goes down. That's a great place to put confidence in. Well, the last word there is what? Mercy. In the cross, there's mercy. Mercy is kindness or goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted. Again, if you're lost, you're a criminal before God. If you're saved, you're a justified criminal. Either way, we all in this building once were an enemy of God, a child of the devil, a criminal of the Most High. And think what mercy it is that He would pardon us. And He hasn't just opened the door for a select five people to be saved. He's opened the door for people from every tongue, tribe, and nation to be saved. Talk about mercy. In the Old Testament, it's all focused on Israel. Yet here the door is, and us Gentiles have been converted. And not through circumcision, not through blood, not through family, but through the blood of the Lamb. Wait, who's writing Galatians? Is this Paul? Paul is writing Galatians? The man who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, the man who was circumcised on the eighth day, the man as to the law was blameless, that man is now exclusively boasting in Christ? What mercy that Paul would say, I count all things as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I've suffered the loss of all things. That all things there is not talking about cars and houses. That all things there is talking about His regiment of self-righteous boasting that He had. And He's saying, all of my credentials I count as done compared to the righteousness that comes from Christ. Because that's perfect and this is a filthy garment. And I would be insane to boast in a filthy garment and not the perfection of the garment of Christ, which I can receive by faith, not by works of righteousness that I have done. So what mercy? Criminal on death row is set free. Well, I have a couple of thoughts in conclusion. First, do you want man's approval or God's? Paul started this letter out by saying, am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? If I'm seeking the approval of man, I am not a slave of Christ. What was one of the reasons why to boast in an external work keeps you from being persecuted? External works reconcile you to man. I'm not in the right relationship with the Jews. If I boast in circumcision, I'm brought into a right relationship with the Jews. But what's our great need of the hour? Is it being reconciled to people? Is it being brought in a right relationship with the Jews, with the Mormons, with the Catholics? Our great need is being brought into a right relationship with God. That's what we need. That's the major need. If you think your major need is right relationship with your parents, well, you come to church. Because that kind of brings you in a closer relationship with your parents. But you need to come to Christ. Do you see how insane it is to boast in anything else but the cross? You get all the physical, external works done. They have no power to keep you from living in sin. You need an inward change. You do all the things in the law, dot every T, dot every I, cross every T. You're not now going to be justified before God. You still got a bad record. You got a bad heart. Do you boast only in the cross? Or are you boasting in something else? Are you boasting in baptism, Lord's Supper, Reformed theology, this church, your parents? Are you boasting in a feeling? Are you boasting in an experience? Are you boasting in tons? Are you boasting in anything? Some people even boast that they know Christ is the only way, yet they're not even trusting in Him. It's not enough for me to stand here and say, I boast in Christ alone, if in reality I'm not boasting in Christ alone. Some people like to boast in things, but they don't really boast in it in their heart. They just verbally communicate it. Another application. Do you bear on your body the marks of Christ, of being persecuted for Christ, for being exclusively a Christ alone boaster? I'll tell you, at that abortion clinic, if they would have went there and said, yeah, Catholics are Christians and been ecumenical, the brother who was there wouldn't have had him grabbing his shirt. He wouldn't have had a mark that he is exclusively Christ. Now, in America, our problem is not getting physically persecuted, is it? I don't know how many people here have had physical persecution. You know where it usually comes? Verbally. Your family will say things to you. Ah, you're too serious. You're taking this thing too far. You're being too hard. Come on, the Mormons are Christians. Catholics are Christians. You're just mean. That's persecution, verbally. Because why? I'm taking a stand. God forbid I boast in anything except the cross. There's nothing else I can boast in that I can have confidence in, that I can depend upon other than that cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another application. Have you been crucified to the world? Is this world rendered powerless to you? Or are you a pig still who in your inward heart you still just want the mud? But you're trying to stay in the rounds of the cage because you know you shouldn't, but what you really want is the mud. And if that's you, if you're not a new creation, if all you've got is circumcision, uncircumcision, you come to church, but you've never had a change at the root, the command center of the devil has never been dethroned, and the Spirit of God has entered in and is ruling in your life. If that's never happened to you, don't look and think, what can I do? Look and say, look what Christ has done. He will save me. He is enough. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. 1 Corinthians 1, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2:2? For I have decided, I have determined to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then in Galatians 6:14, God forbid, may it never be that I boast in anything except one thing, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the penalty of my sin has been fully paid by the blood of the Lamb. And that cross by which the world is now rendered powerless to me, and I am dead to the world, and my old man has now been killed. He is dead, and I've been buried with Christ and raised to newness of life. That's the cross I'm boasting in. Because it took care of my two biggest problems, my bad heart and my bad record. And I've got peace with God. Isn't that a good reason to boast in the cross? The cross of Christ, the cross of the Bible. If you're not boasting in that cross, I tell you, what else is worth boasting in? There's nothing. I mean, why be standing on a ship which has holes in its sinking and boast in it? People will look and say, he's in a sinking ship and he's boasting that the ship is strong enough. The Christian is in a ship where God gave His only Son. And if He did that, how much more will He not also graciously give us all things? How much more will He not help us to live a godly life? Help us. So nothing can wash away your sins but the blood of Christ. And it's through faith alone in Christ, not the works of the law. Let's pray. Lord, it's just true that even my attempt to boast in your cross falls infinitely short of the boasting that you deserve. Lord, I'm thankful that one day we'll be in heaven with glorified bodies and we'll be able to boast you like that. Not here where we've got a frail body, not here where we've got this flesh that passions war against us. Lord, if we want to boast in you, we want to be exclusively, entirely, all about you. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. And Lord, you're worthy to save the lost, to make more people boasters of you. Lord, you did it for Paul. What mercy at the cross that you saved a wicked Pharisee, a self-righteous man like the apostle, the Saul of Tarsus, Lord, and you saved him. Lord, it is incredible. I pray you'd raise people from the dead here who don't know you. I pray, Lord, they come to you and trust in you. Lord, be with us today as we fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.